Okay, I'm going to call the work session to order. Bronze is going to take a big swig of attaboy juice and we're going to roll tape. Because it's like we have to finish something today or we won't be prepared a week from now.
Yeah, we would like to keep this on the agenda and moving forward. Sorry, we got so far that I'm having to.
You're on page 27, it looks like.
Yeah.
Or what is page 27? I don't know. Yeah. Was page 27, but it.
Okay. Apologize, I'm trying to be able to put you all on the side where I can see everyone. But I may have to.
We have a lot of
put you all on a different
camera shy folks that are.
Well, I'm working off of three screens, so
that should be enough.
Yeah, it's sometimes a little tough to make sure you're on the right one. Okay. Let's see. They gave me permission to share. Screen there. All right. Can you see the the language there?
I see the bottom of page 26 and the start of the top of 27. There we go.
Perfect. Okay. Well, this is where we stopped last time. I'm going to save this as today's date. All right, we're rocking.
All right.
So we started with discussing the district sub areas and standards. And so we will, we have added this area.
Yep.
Successfully added. The commission meeting, that was an amendment that you all brought forward, and it was given an A, sub-area A designation. And at this point, we can start getting into the language. If you all have any changes, instead of reading word by word, we can just kind of go through the, you know, paragraph by paragraph. The first one just talks about variances.
I have questions on the first two paragraphs.
Yes, sir.
Where you at? No, it's no administrative changes. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this strictly employee changes within the city administration?
Correct.
Okay, so it's okay to be that strict. I just wanted to.
Well, it's, we should never be doing that.
Regardless.
Administrative changes, regardless. It should go through the proper noticing process. So it's just kind of, it's basically just saying, you know,
small you can't changes. Do it. Staff can't do it willy-nilly.
Yeah, small changes can't come through staff. They've got to go through the proper channels.
Okay. And then in the next paragraph, I just had one question where you say potentially permitted. Did you want to use the word potentially? Is that clear enough? Is that...
Standards detailed in a way over the maximum density and intensity parameters potentially permitted in each respective subarea.
I'm sure that's a word that came from the steering committee. It's kind of...
Or what? Yeah, I think because the language below covers it, it's to say that you may not get everything. You may not be able to achieve everything that's a part of your entitlements, but that's the same with any piece of property in the city. And then I think below covers it.
I was wondering if it was better to say subject to or just to leave it out.
I think just leaving it out, because the language below says you can't necessarily achieve everything just because the code says you can go up to 45% FAR or whatever it may be. Site constraints may keep you from doing that. So I think you're right. That's unnecessary.
I have a comment in the fourth paragraph down that starts residential units.
Yes.
I just wondered if there was any confusion between using first floor or ground floor. Should we?
Mm-hmm. And I wondered if it should be limited to the first floor as opposed to limited on the first floor.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we are stating that along Orange Avenue itself, we do not want residential units because of the...
On the first floor.
So they're not allowed on the first floor.
Correct.
Okay.
But I just want to make, is everybody happy that we've made it sound like first and ground are the same floor? We're not using the European model.
Allowed. The first floor. Orange Avenue for all sub areas. Yeah, I think by saying limited is kind of, seems like it leaves it open a little bit.
There's no residential units allowed anywhere along Orange Avenue.
Just along the first floor of Orange Ave, kind of like we do on Park Ave, where we have them allowed above. But to keep the walkable also.
I think a walk up would be very consistent with the development pattern of that area, walk up residential, but
yep.
I'm not trying to die on that hill. It might read better to say the first floor fronting.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Frontage along Orange Avenue.
I assume this is kind of a reaction to abatement, a dislike for the abatement development.
Some of it was just to keep it, because if you're trying to keep it walkable, you don't necessarily want to look in someone's living room. And also, if you rented that unit, it wouldn't be the most private of areas, and they'd probably want to limit the windows. And since we have require a lot of glazing and that sort of thing, it's probably just not the thing we want to see along a walkable corridor. So, but we definitely want to encourage walk-ups, and even at the rear of the property or second floor, where whatever it may be. Oh, and I see where you're saying down here, first or ground floor.
Yeah, I just
don't see a difference in the two, so let's keep it consistent.
Yeah, and the second line from the end of the paragraph has or ground again.
Okay.
On the last sentence of that paragraph, why do we care if they do I'm thinking of the apartment next to Fresh Market. The entire ground floor is a art gallery with a built-in mezzanine gymnasium so you can look out over the art while you're jogging. Do you care if someone does that?
There is a
15% of the ground floor can't be a, I guess you're trying to activate, but I don't know. I'm just curious.
I think the, if I remember correctly, this was to allow for the kind of lobby area, but potentially
a lot of residential folks will, if they can't do residential on the first floor, they'll do the entire ground floor as like all the amenities for the residential. Not that the density really allows any type of residential, what I'm
picturing.
I'm just curious why. Why would we care if 15% of the ground floor, first floor? Because if it's a...
This, and this is only for properties fronting Orange Avenue itself.
Right?
I'm
just trying to pass a straight face test.
Yeah.
It comes in, they want to do, they say, I want to do townhomes above. And I'm fine with doing a art gallery lobby on the first floor.
15% but, is pretty tight if...
It's with, the, I mean, with the size of buildings. Amenities. So I don't know. I'm not trying to. It's just more of a question of is that number.
What can you just take out?
Would you like just to take this sentence out?
Or the
that's what I would recommend. Or, go ahead.
Or maybe just take out the residential amenity spaces. Or again, Alex has got a good point. Why do we care?
Yeah. If it's back behind, we've kind of limited ourselves out of having that space downstairs that
and I'm trying to figure out how do you do the math because we're talking about frontage and it's 15%. I guess 50% of the overall
and if you ground floor. And if you have it on this second floor and you're but you don't have the units in order to require an elevator, then you're causing code issues. I think it's good to.
Yeah.
Hey, we did it.
And I tell you what, I don't know if any of you saw the commission meeting, but we had the two different colors, which today it's going in between colors. When you save it as a PDF, in order to show your track changes, you have to save it a certain way. We did that, but it did not show a difference between the colors. But I went right from the code and did bits of screen snips and put them right on the PowerPoint. And it caused a great deal of confusion at the very start of that lengthy public hearing. So I think this time we'll at the end make it all red. All right. And this is where we get into a little more detail on the sub areas. We've got the
I think
that's good.
This kind of explains this and the exemptions, the reconstruction of buildings.
Now, in reconstruction of buildings, we near the end there, you say reconstructions of buildings shall be required to provide stormwater retention in the sidewalks. With as described in herein, and we don't describe.
It's
somewhere.
It's described elsewhere in the code. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking herein, like right below here.
Okay. Gotcha.
Got it.
As described.
Just out of curiosity, so we are asking individual property owners to include the sidewalk that's in the public rights of way in their stormwater retention calculation? Is that essentially what they're saying? Or I know there's going to be some sidewalk in the private property.
This is just their impervious. So when this comes out of the steering committee, we had some folks who said some of these buildings are great, but they're so old you can't remodel them, or they're falling down. You should be able to rebuild them as they are, you know, even though they may not meet code, but they have to. And my point was, well, we're going to have to meet some codes, you know, if we're allowing for the reconstruction of nonconformities when it comes to stormwater, and St. John's is probably not going to like that as a part of our stormwater permit. And if we're trying to create this walkable street and you've only got a small sidewalk out front, you're going to have to move it back some. I really doubt anybody ever does this, because if you have an old nonconforming building and then we say you have to meet all building codes, I'm doubtful that anyone decides to do that, but we are giving them the option to do that. So that's kind of where that came from.
Got it. 10-4.
All right, we have our base, 45 max achievable, two stories for any properties abutting Orange Avenue in Minnesota, three stories for all of the properties within the sub area. So along Orange Avenue itself, we keep the scale, and, you know, kind of the charm and the scale of the smaller buildings. Some people think we have some three-story buildings, but they're just like the new building at Jewett looks like it's three stories, but it's just two. So if we go up here, so all of these have to meet that requirement, but on the back side, and these along Minnesota have to stay two-story as well, and it's because they're right across the street from single-family residential, so we didn't want to kind of dwarf those buildings with three-story buildings. But along the back side here, those could be three stories. Some of these could be three stories. We've got a couple back here, and then the ones kind of behind that are adjacent to Fairbanks that are in the A category could be three stories. So that
is it, and it's three stories with no additional 10-foot setbacks.
They would have to meet all the setback requirements, and if they were to rebuild, a lot of them are existing.
When we get over to sub area B, it clearly says third story shall require an additional 10-foot setback from the front and rear, yet in sub area A, we don't say that.
So sub area B, on the back side, it abuts residential. So we're pulling the potential third story away from residential. And actually, we require that on the front side anyway, as a part of our setback standards along Fairbanks.
Okay, I'm just okay. All righty.
Density 17 units per acre. We put in this about historic preservation. Saying that we have opportunities to incentivize people to designate their buildings as historic, And then also if they're east of Denning, they are within the CRA, and not only can they get potential funds, matching grant funds from historic preservation, but also from the CRA also has facade grants and that sort of thing, which actually we've seen some of the buildings use, like Floyd's Barbershop is somebody who in the past has used matching CRA funds in order to create a their facade with the garage doors and that sort of thing. So
cool. Real quick, Ron, I'll have to jump back. There's a mention of landscape buffer, 5-foot landscape buffer requirement minimum, whatever. Yeah. There. I'm trying to understand the recommended cross section. I don't think it's a good idea to do an actual true, what I would consider a landscape buffer, which is a continuous planting strip along the urban corridor. It seems more like tree cutouts at a specific spacing distance. Is that detailed further into the code?
Yes. And also, so the 5-foot buffer is DOT standard. If you're...
That's kind of the door swing area is how I kind of think about it. Yes. Right? You're talking back from the curb, there's 5-foot, and then your 10-foot sidewalk starts. Is that what?
For any properties along Fairbanks or Orlando Avenue, if they're along Orange Avenue, they've got to have the 17-foot sidewalk. And we've already got all of the parking spaces set and all of the landscape areas set. So it's just they've got to have an additional setback and then provide public easement over that space.
Gotcha.
But for the, we do have a standard for...
the configuration roughly.
Maybe we should put that in there as a...
Just because I'm thinking if someone redoes that curb back, if they are getting into the right of way at all, probably want it to match, you know, similar to what they do on, you know, Park Ave, Orange Ave. With the, I think they're like 6x10 or 8x10 tree planters, but...
We have,
I don't know, whatever your standard,
because right now, as you know, it's right on the back of curb. And if anybody went on our walk shop or has walked, been a pedestrian along sections of, especially Fairbanks where the buildings come right up to the edge. It's a kind of a tough experience where you're having to look out for large vehicles with, an F-250 with a rear view mirror that sticks out very far. So with the 5-foot buffer and the 10-foot sidewalk, we're starting that on West Fairbanks and bringing it all the way down. It requires dedication of some public easement along the frontage, which it's going to be a little bit here and there for now, but eventually as it gets built out, we have kind of an octagonal shape because we can use the 5-foot buffer, which will likely just be grass. You're correct. It's not a landscape buffer. We will plant some trees in that area and we have some decorative lighting, but then we have, we use some of the 5-foot of the buffer, and then we go into the sidewalk area about another 3 feet. So we've got a kind of an 8x8 area for the, you know, healthy growth of the root ball for live oaks, because we have a lot of places in town where, you know, it's a 3x3 cutout that's going to really stunt the growth, start to really mess up the sidewalk. And so I've worked with our city arborist on developing a standard, and also worked with Sarah, our city traffic engineer, to make sure everything is where it should be. And we've got the decorative lighting and the underground utilities. It's just sometimes you can't see the good-looking infrastructure until the buildings that need to be replaced are gone and they have a new building, and that kind of makes the nice infrastructure pop a little bit.
Right.
What are you going to add?
Street trees, and we've already got the decorative lights. And are you saying in the...
In your comment there, you said add. I'm kind of curious, what are you going to add?
Sorry, it was hidden behind you. Add landscape.
Ah, okay.
And the reason I need a little time for that is Bronze drew that, and we are going to have somebody who is not Bronze draw that, so it looks a little better. We're going to probably have somebody who can use CAD a little better draw that up.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that sounds like moved to B.
Yep.
Yeah.
B is very similar, except that on the north side of it, it does back up to residential properties. So we're saying you can do a third floor.
Let us set it back. Yeah.
Consistent. Yeah, it's just kind of an additional setback. I'm doubtful that you can get a whole lot on these properties. They're really pretty tight, and so many of them
25 foot setback, huh?
Are so underparked that
25 foot's pretty big.
Yeah.
I mean, I would consider that
35 feet.
That's so a pretty suburban setback.
I think that is a coming from the hope of
getting a free turn lane.
Some of the commissioners, maybe not all the commission, that there's need for an additional lane east and westbound on Fairbanks. That project would be very far out, and we would in talking with DOT, they don't see a need for it, so they are not going to fund it. And the intersection actually operates at a pretty high level. Or a good level for us, C's, which, and if you have a C intersection in Winter Park, you are doing all right.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that comes from. That
you have a 6-lane road operating at a B level, it'd be a freeway. I don't think you want that there, but anyways.
Yeah.
25 foot seems pretty out of context. That's just my opinion.
So maybe we...
I think,
an additional 5 feet. You want to just start with the front setback is 20 feet?
I guess my question would be, why do they need to do more than everybody else who's doing 17 or 15 when they're doing 5 foot of landscape and 10 foot of sidewalk? What happens in the next 5 to 10 feet that we care so much about? Unless they're trying to get a lane out of it, which
I think that's
a different process.
That's the intent, but
isn't that like a taking kind of issue?
It very well could be considered one. And because this would be tied likely to a project on the J property. It's the same ownership as the J property, but the right of way that we really need is on the B side. Those would come as probably a joint project. So I think you are correct. If we have something that is outside of what we have for the A properties along.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of my question is, do we have enough justification to say, hey, these folks lose another 10 foot of their property?
I think you are correct on that. I think we replace it with the same language to keep ourselves consistent, especially with the rear 35, that was going to get pretty tight.
Oh, it has a 35 foot rear too. What are the lot depth of like 150? That's
yeah, that's, and that is
because it backs up on
to the residential. And quite honestly, if you look at what's there,
is it subject to backing up to residential? I guess a lot of them do, but not all of them do. They all do? Okay.
Yeah.
It ends at Denning.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
And but starting down at the railroad tracks, that's all adaptive reuse because it's all so underparked and there's no way you can find parking. We don't want to necessarily use parking across Fairbanks. I mean,
sure.
Look at the situation with Trader Joe's is the best example I have of all the employees have to park on the other side of 1792, which is dangerous to cross, even though we put in the LPI, the leading pedestrian interval, which is very helpful, but we don't want people playing Frogger running across traffic, which currently happens. So it's really on the west side towards Denning where there's vacant land owned by the owners of Area J that has any potential to be anything. And if they park, it's going to be more linear of a built, you know, kind of a long skinny building, if anything. I'm doubting that any residential is even considered there just because parking's going to be so tight anyway.
Yep.
Okay. I think that's good. So there are two properties. For properties within this sub area with an underlying zoning of single family residential, these properties shall only use for single family residential use, open space, or transportation improvements. Because there are two properties, vacant properties that go up to, I guess that would be Comstock.
Yeah.
That are adjacent to the 17, or I'm sorry, the Denning multi-use trail that we'll be improving.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm a little, what is this pointing to? Which properties? Going back and forth between your presentation and the map.
Right here, these two.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just that turning the corner didn't want commercial to start turning the corner there, because actually the commercial on this side is going to be taken away. The city's purchased those and we'll be making those into an additional turn lane for Denning and then adding it to park space.
It was kept into the overlay because it's under common ownership of the property.
Correct. It's adjacent. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think it'd be a great something to, you know, kind of turn it, have some townhomes or something there. That would be a good transition into the single family area, but also make use of being fronting onto a multi-use trail. I think that's a pretty good benefit there, and potentially, you know, have the entrance off of Comstock and alley load them, that kind of thing. So not to plan other people's property, but
no worries.
We can offer suggestions of what could happen. But that's where that comes from. All right, getting down to subarea C. This is progress point. I will go ahead and change this to the 10%. That was decided by the commission. Then we have a separate FAR just for the parking structure. And then they made some changes to the to the parking garage that I'll just have to kind of copy and paste from the comp plan, because there was discussion over stories versus levels versus tiers, and it all to me was kind of the same thing. And while somebody could build a 20-foot first floor of the parking garage, and you're going, why would somebody build an extra 8 feet tall of concrete? that's going to be pretty tall. But we came up with a good answer in the end. And so this can probably be taken out because it has been decided it is going to be a park and kept by the city. And then we had this view shed requirement. This came early on from the steering committee, where there was a desire to make sure we kept that intersection open. No buildings came up close to the kind of corner. And also then...
do we even need that anymore?
I would...
It's almost like,
think so.
You almost need a diagram to understand it.
I think I created one at one point to show folks and it, but now that it is going to be a park, we may not need that, and may just be extra language that could be a little confusing.
Oh, it's already confusing. It's just whether it's necessary confusing or just unnecessary confusing.
Yes. We wrote it's funny. We wrote some of this so long ago that you're going, things have changed a lot since then. Palmetto realignment. We removed that from the comp plan because the language was in here a number of times. It was added back into the comp plan during the first reading by the commission. We've stated it. We've already actually started realigning it. So,
unless it's wrong, it may not hurt.
Yeah, I think that one may be good to keep in there because it states the 50-foot public right-of-way needs to be maintained. And this was a requirement that kind of got forgotten in all this originally.
We can take out
this was supposed to be a the point, a progress point, was supposed to be a sign that leads you to Mead, to the park. I still think that's good to leave in there, because right now the only signage to Mead Botanical Garden is a small little blue sign, and it's just still a hidden gem. And that was one of the goals of the steering committee early on, was to make sure that people got down to Mead Garden. And we've got these requirements that
you could take out no residential use, because you said that.
We've got it up above, don't we? Just made it all fun, didn't it? This is just kind of some stuff the commission has added in there, and we're doing what we said we would do, but
yep.
Maybe it's good to let them decide if they'd like to keep it in there, since they've kind of already started on sub-area C with those standards. Moving on to sub-area D, I will tell you that the floor area ratio was taken back to 100%. You all recommended 125, but that was reduced back to 100% at the first reading.
I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
On number 7, the workforce housing.
Yes, sir.
The 20% increase just seems irrelevant to me. That's an increase of 3 units per acre. I would propose, it's sort of extreme, but I would propose that if the city were really interested in workforce housing, and I'm thinking of areas like Winter Garden, where they have really nice townhouses and stuff around their marketplace, but mm-hmm. those are 20 foot or 22 foot wide units, mm-hmm. that you would need to go up to 25 units an acre, which would be an increase of 50%. Mm-hmm. That would get you 8 additional units per acre, and might be incentive enough to actually do something. I just want to throw that out to the committee.
Well, I will tell you that because we have already, that really is a comp plan policy that has to do with density that has already been decided by the commission, and
they're sticking at 20%.
Yep.
And sent to DEO that the land development code has to follow the comp plan in this case.
Oh well. Okay.
Although I think what you're saying, David, makes sense. I mean, we did bump it from 10 to 20 just because 10 made no sense, and 20 doesn't make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah, it was kind of an effort to, if it was a priority, to try to give it some legs. But yeah.
Now there again, in setbacks for a D, go up. You've got that 5-foot landscape buffer again.
Thank you.
I didn't quite. Are we saying that it says a 50-foot along Orlando? Okay, and then it.
And it gets
in. Along Orlando Avenue.
And then this is the Orange Avenue setback, because
Okay.
Although, let me look because
we got 50 foot on Orlando.
What's the current Orlando Avenue setback?
I think that would be 10 or 20.
50 seems excessive.
50 foot's a whole bunch.
It is.
That causes a host of design issues.
Is that to be more consistent with the development on the west side of the road?
It was. I don't know what I did there. I think it was in order to be consistent, but also at that time, these properties were part of the D group, but because they fronted on Orange Avenue, they were added into the A area. So we may not need to have the language about Orange Avenue frontage.
For D, no.
For D, because those are A properties. Yeah. I believe you are correct. Yeah, because with the five-story allowance combined with the 50-foot setback, you could be looking, you know, 100-foot setback, which would really reduce, it would force you to go up. Okay. So what do you think is the proper setback along?
What's the Unicorp property setback along Orlando Avenue?
I think 10.
They're only 10 feet.
Let me check.
Where Booya is? And
they're not 50.
I think that's probably, although the architecture may not be everyone's favorite, it's definitely the
I can check
most elegant pedestrian solution I've seen along Orlando.
Yes, I would agree. Sorry, I'm looking on another screen here. It looks like 30 from the back of the curb to the building, and then from the property line, and this is GIS, so not always 100% accurate, but looks like that's 20. And then it's got some areas in the right of way that they have some areas within that 20 foot that have an awning and that sort of thing, which is allowable in certain areas. So
I think 20 is okay.
Okay.
I don't know. What does everyone else think?
Yeah.
I think it's fine.
With the floor area ratio of 100%, the likelihood of a five-story building at this point is
They're not going
to very likely.
Yeah.
Although it is probably going to make them surface park it, so it may get a little taller. But we do have those setback requirements as you get taller. So I think that this hopefully still achieves the goal of not having too much massing along the entrance there.
Well, I notice here we have a front setback and we have a rear setback. We have no side setbacks. Of course, this is kind of a strange shaped.
It is a bit of a strange
sub area. So even if you said side, you'd have to say, well, what the heck's the side?
Yeah, because you've got
the railroad
Orlando's side. The front. If we close and vacate Harmon,
right,
and put Palmetto across the back, the only side setback would be where it is adjacent to
those A properties.
Yes, sir.
So,
which don't require a very significant setback. It's more just for building code.
Yeah. Well, right now the A properties and the B prop, nobody has a side setback. So
no, everybody else, we kind of want to butt up together, but this project, if it was a little larger, would maybe tougher to butt up to
right.
another property. And quite honestly, whatever property they're butting up to, maybe a little tough, maybe wasn't built perfectly to code, and they may want to leave a little bit of a gap there on their side.
So should we put in a nominal side setback here for D? Yeah,
5 or 10 feet, is that what you're thinking maybe?
Yeah, just because we have street and rear, but we really don't say anything about side.
Undo that.
Even though we looked at the map, I didn't find a lot of side. So you found it.
Side.
Is 5 feet.
Yeah.
B is five.
E is five, but I was going to say 10, but.
Okay. Being a larger parcel, I think 10 is acceptable.
Yeah.
And again, we're at 17 units per acre. Still have the 20% workforce.
I was kind of surprised there that they only had one item from the development enhancement menu.
That's the one where we pick their, if we're picking from the menu, we've picked their appetizer, I guess, where we wanted the bike trail has to be extended.
Okay.
To Orlando Avenue. They have the ability to put it along Palmetto, the realigned Palmetto, or they've got to figure out some way to put it through their property. And I think that is something we still definitely want.
I just wondered if there was any others.
I think on the others, early on, the intent was to
like the public parking.
They're required to have the public parking if they want to use the enhancement menu. So they've got to build the 10% extra to do structured parking, which they may
not
so by saying- want to do. Then we talk about the road realignment of Harmon. I've already started this conversation and trying to go ahead and swap the right of way there and get Harmon closed on both sides, or Harmon unsignalized, I guess, for the because it really, if you're driving down the current Harmon and you come to the stop sign at the end where it's one way and it's very confusing in front of Lombardi's, it really does not help that busy intersection. And so if we were to have Palmetto realigned to closer to the railroad tracks where Vivian comes out with a right in, right out only, that certainly would be preferable to us, to DOT. And I would think the property owner not having a city right away right down the middle of their property would be open to that as well. And so I've asked if it would be okay if I went ahead and started surveying those properties, and was given the okay by the property owner to start to have our city surveyor go out there and create some exhibits. And, you know, even if it's in advance of whatever project is built on this property, we would sure like to go ahead and have that right of way, even if it's, you know, the ability to close Harmon really is what we're looking for. And then go ahead and have the right of way ready to be swapped if it's not okay to be swapped right now, if there's a building in the way or something.
All righty.
All right.
To do it.
Getting down to E. We did add language here. Basically, it said you can go from 45% to 60% if you, that 15% extra can go towards structured parking. We added some language from the city attorney. Okay, so I will add that in there. That just clarifies exactly what that 15% is.
On number five there, under subarea E?
Yes, sir.
Just for the sake, this is just a correction for the sake of consistency.
Yes,
you say must allow for a 10-foot sidewalk and 5-foot landscape as opposed to 10-foot and 5-foot.
Thanks, sir.
And plus we're taking out the word landscape, right?
We are. I'm glad I have you guys on the team here.
Two places, move up a sentence or two. There you go. Well, you're getting good at that stuff, Bronze, just to let you know. I'm impressed with your word skills.
Well, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm impressed with you all's skills on helping us to edit this. I've written this, I must have 40 drafts of this, of each of, you know, of the zoning code, and then over time. And, you know, when you're changing little bits of this and that, and we've had, gosh, I think we added up 31 work sessions with the commission prior to the current work sessions we've had. And then we've discussed it in 37 regular meetings. I think I got the numbers from the city clerk
that's depressing.
Yeah. When you change one little bit and you need to change it over here. And so it's certainly been,
Okay.
Modified back and forth a lot. All right, we got a 5-foot setback there.
Got it.
20-foot rear.
Budding residential. That's the first place I've seen the or equal to building height, whichever is greater.
Yeah, and actually,
Is that
so? We put that in there because this area that we just added back in as A,
yeah,
has residential property in there. Right. But what we found out is the residential properties that we were, you know, Judah's bought a couple, they're using it for parking. And the couple of residential houses we were protecting, that was the person, I believe a doctor, who called.
Yeah, and I remember said, all that.
Put
yeah,
me back in. I'm using that as an office. And so we don't actually abut residential in any location. So we can probably take that out.
Cool beans. Fewer words.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Downtown.
There we go. All right. F.
Baseball field.
That's pretty easy. It's a baseball field, and we say it has to basically stay a baseball field.
Yep. Now, you do have the word landscape in there again if you want to.
That tricky old word there.
And in section B there, additional sub-area requirements. I just thought that first sentence was a little clumsy. You said, where you say this area shall not be used for any other future purpose. How about any future purpose other than?
Ooh, spoken like a writer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It does read better.
So it would be this, yes.
Actually, it should read. Any use other than shall be prohibited.
Okay. Oh. That works.
Look at that.
Yeah. It's even understandable.
I think that reads much better.
Agreed.
And it basically keeps it as
a baseball field
or sports facility.
There you go.
But we hope that they use it for other things like movie night, which would be very cool there.
Yeah.
Sub-area G. That is the area at the northwest of the intersection of Denning and Fairbanks. And it's where the city has bought the dry cleaner on the corner, and the city has purchased the spa property next door. There has been some discussion on buying more property in the future to expand the park, MLK Park, or potentially traffic improvements that may or may not be justified. So, but there are some existing businesses there that think the OAO, it makes them go away, and they've kind of combined the two and used the OAO as a OAO was the reason why the city was buying properties, but those are Bronze, unrelated.
Bronze, if you scroll up a little bit to the title, sub-area G, development standards, I think that should be a parent A parent. All the others are that way. See how that...
Gotcha.
And then you need, yeah. Let's see how he does this, folks.
Let's see. Style. All right. Hey.
Whoa.
Look at that. There's
parentheses around it.
Around the A?
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Oops.
I think you're going to have to go back to your...
All right. We're going to have to go back to our list here. That's okay. We'll figure this out.
That gum. Where's Allison?
I think this is actually her fault, if we're being honest.
There it is, down in the lower right.
There we go. Thank you.
And then scroll down a little bit. And then your additional development, that should be me.
Did not get a...
Ooh.
Let's see. I think we say... Nope. All right, and we do the continue numbering here. Now that's what we got to do.
Yep.
Continue numbering. Okay, we're going to fix that at some point.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry I brought it up.
That's okay.
Let's move on to H. It's so hard.
Well, I'm wondering if you need to, because sometimes you have the setbacks as separate subheadings or subcategories.
Yes.
And then sometimes, like,
we just need to go through for consistency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five, it's all in one paragraph.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are correct. We need to.
We do that.
Our tables. And I'll go through and make a note to myself. Now that actually is Allison's fault. I'm just going to say that. I think hopefully we've come to the end of the search for the new Planner 3. Nothing to announce yet, but it appears we are at that point. So I will be very, very happy to be staffed up again.
I'm sure you will. You never quite appreciate somebody till they leave.
Yeah, just having the extra bodies and people to help with the work is just something I'm going to greatly appreciate. Share that all, and I'm going to employ some help from someone who is, though you've been kind with saying that I've got a knack for this, I'm going to get some help from somebody who is a Microsoft Word expert, because all the editing that could get messy if I'm leading that.
All right, well, let's deal with this tough one, subarea age. Ah, so hard.
Hey, look, I don't say landscape anywhere. Small victories.
There we go. Okay. It's got to be set back to 100%, or did they leave?
Yes, that one also went back to 100%.
Now here you've crossed us up. You say a 5 ft planting strip instead of foot or.
Yeah, we just we went all over the place.
You got a 10 foot.
And then
foot
down line. Here, whoops.
Okay.
And then we need to say. What?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then. We have residential uses should only be allowed above the ground floor. Where we say residential uses shall only be allowed above the ground floor fronting Orange Avenue. The thing with Area I is it does not front Orange Avenue for much more than the.
Yeah.
Tip of the piece of the pie. So I'm wondering if we need to have that and maybe.
Why don't you just take it out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa, that really took it out.
It really did, didn't it? Project insertion. All right, I guess that makes it easy since it was still in draft form.
There you go.
I think maybe I'll put that with the strike through.
And then we got another one of these view shed things.
Yes, this
which
one.
We have to keep this one.
Yes, and actually,
maybe a figure. Since you're such a CAD expert now, too.
Yes, I think the last time we did this, I got on GIS and measured 50 feet and then tried to do it in Publisher, is probably how that happened. And since that time, I've hired a transportation or created a transportation division. I've got all sorts of.
Yeah.
Engineers, and actually we're adding another engineering intern. So, and our potential new replacement for Ms. McGillis has some design skills as well that exceed my minimum level of expertise.
Well, it
it's really just to keep that kind of piece of the pie open. Yeah. And quite honestly, we need that area that it's going to be dedicated as, or the intent is to have that dedicated as right of way. So we can have the geometry of the intersection be a complete circle, which would allow for roundabout or other intersection improvements, because right now that intersection fails in every direction. And
I'm just concerned that without complete out of figure, don't completely understand whether this paragraph supersedes all our setbacks, because when we draw in the view shed, we may find, well, damn, you couldn't have the view shed and the setbacks together. You'd have no space left.
Yeah, what did we say on setbacks? 0 on Orange Avenue. Doesn't. Didn't drive 10 foot wide setback.
When we're talking about the view shed, are we talking about the site triangle, or are we talking about
it's a little bit beyond the site triangle. It really is to pull the buildings back.
Yeah.
potential massing back from the intersection. Denning Drive. Actually, I need to modify this. Do setback or a 20 foot setback. Trail Minnesota Avenue setback must allow for at least 10 foot wide setback.
Okay, yeah, I see.
Wide, actually, I should say sidewalk. We are making all sorts of changes here. It's good to not see something for a while, then and come back to it and say, this doesn't really read correctly. Trail. All right. We've made that beautiful. Okay. We've got the same language there. The requirement to require development enhancement is CT7, and I'm going to highlight that to make sure that is still the right number. Basically, it's just, it's the same as area J or B where we need
right-of-way. We don't have CT7.
If we
rail trail thing, it's CT1.
Actually, this one is dedication of right-of-way.
Oh.
Which now is... Sorry, I'm going to scroll down real quick and find out which one it is.
CT4? Yeah.
CT4. CT4, and while we're at it, we'd run up to area D and make sure. Wrong direction. I need to go to J and do that.
Yes, it's also,
a little more specific there. Okay, very good.
I like the wording Vince Southwesterly.
You can tell we had
kind of 19th century or so.
That's surveyor speak right there.
Vince. I think I had a dog named Vince once.
All right. So are we good to go to J, which was just 100%. Okay, so maximum height, 3 stories fronting on Fairbanks and on Denning, 4 stories when set back 80 feet from Fairbanks or Denning. So that's, we've got that in the diagrams, and it is,
and you've got your 5 foot, 5 FTs. Got that one.
Oh, we went both ways.
Yeah, we did it all on this one.
In foot planting strip landscape.
Well, you got a planting strip there that you might want to. Grow marijuana along the back of the curve.
See, there are some plants out there where you've got that 5 foot curb as you walk along the old Holler building that are kind of stick out into the sidewalk, and they're spiky plants. And but you've got cars coming at you in the other direction. We that was kind of a dicey place there.
Yeah, you've got one more FT there with your sidewalk. Okay. You changed your CT7 to CT4.
Mm-hmm.
Service alley.
Yeah, we're basically saying vehicle access shall only be allowed from Capon or Holt.
Well, Holt to Capon seems kind of strange because they're at 90 degrees.
Yeah, service alley of these three. This kind of goes with the block structure discussion that is in the language previously. So I think this is probably good to take out.
Well, like I say, it's hard to go from Capon unless you bend.
Yeah. I think that was, I know the intent of the commissioner was to create a service alley, and but.
Well, you could say extend from Holt or Capon. Or you can take it out.
Yeah.
Because the block structure should.
No, I think just taking it out is the best thing to do there. I'm just thinking about vehicle access. And we do only want it for Holt or Capon, but we've also talked about closing Capon, which our police department would be very much in favor of, because Capon has a right turn only sign that gets ignored, as I've heard, at least once a week, and causes somebody to get, well, it gets ignored more than once a week, but
right.
Once a week someone ignores it and pays the price for it, and it blocks traffic pretty bad. And so we even have a pork chop there, which is the curb that makes you go right, and people just don't use it.
Yep.
And because the properties are contiguous, there was some designs we had that created create sort of an outdoor utilization of the public right of way as some kind of cool outdoor space where you could have some amenities and that sort of thing. So I'm wondering if we want to potentially allow
only from home,
maybe some language unless otherwise allowed by the city traffic engineer, because she won't do it if it's not safe. I'm just thinking if we, so if say Capen was closed, can we have both access points all on Capen? Do we want to allow a ride out onto Fairbanks, which I can't think that we would want to, or potentially utilize Denning, because that's a, I think a 300 foot block there.
Yeah. I think what you're really going to want, if Capen's going away, you're really just going to say only allowed from Holt Avenue.
Which I don't know if code will like.
Okay. Well, then leave it in there. And
allowed by the, we'll say the city traffic engineer and the fire marshal.
Ooh.
If those two agree, then that's,
that's
it's safe. All right. Required development enhancements.
Can almost smell the barn here, guys.
Yep. Okay. Now we get into Orange Avenue Overlay Development Enhancements bonuses. We've changed it from a percentage-based menu to a square foot-based development enhancement menu. Where you can get square footage and you have a multiplier based on how good your improvement is and how much we want it and how expensive it is. It's a unique way of looking at it that I think should work, but it just references the maximum achievable. You have to give us plans for anything offsite. If you're using any of those, any enhancement, you have to be designed by a licensed professional. Therefore, I am out of the running. I can't use my Microsoft publisher skills.
That looks like a lot of Dan Langley language.
You know, I bet you are right.
I did have one item in the second paragraph three. You have two paragraph threes.
Yeah, that is
tricky.
Hey.
Down there where you say to ensure in your new paragraph four, I'd like to see if we could add shall be reviewed by the planning and zoning board and the planning director or the planning and zoning board, because you're kind of part and parcel of that.
Yes.
Well, not there. Where it says planning director?
Yeah, so you will know that it, obviously if it's going to you, hopefully I've seen it first.
All right.
Okay.
And I think that we ought to add another fee, which is to contribute to the Planning and Zoning Board Christmas party. But
and that's not a transportation fee. It is a multimodal impact fee.
Yes, it is.
Which we've already got drafted.
Do we need to define multimodal in our definitions? Or is that defined somewhere else in the code?
I think it being in draft form right now, I'd probably want to just reference it and it'll explain itself in its own.
Okay, that makes sense.
So I don't want to put something in here that potentially changes.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's where we get into the multiplier as it's been. It's by square feet. We used the $70 per square feet of FAR and then the multiplier on how you get your enhancements, and this is something that that the mayor and I worked on, and the commission liked the enhancement multipliers as a means. Where we look at the actual cost of the enhancement versus, you know, to determine the multiplier. And because the thought was there were some that were kind of too easy to gain a percentage for some of the larger projects where it wasn't as fair for the smaller projects. So it's even for the properties based on the amount of square foot they want to add. So unless anyone has anything to add on that one, I'm just going to go down to the menu itself. I will show you a change we just made recently where we actually defined, I worked with Commissioners Weaver and Sullivan to create this renewable energy solar panel system. They liked the concept of if you have an open top layer of your parking garage, it does not count towards your floor area ratio. But if you were to cover it, it would. So, but if you were to cover it with solar panels, then it would not. But you have to keep the sides open. The only thing you can have up, you know, is the structural elements. And so by keeping the sides open, it really shouldn't add to the massing of the building, but it certainly helps us to meet our sustainability goals. And then we talked about future electrical storage capacity system costs. I guess the technology is not quite there yet in order to store all the energy that is created on site within sort of a battery system, but as I understand, it's not far away. And so the cost right now would be quite large, but in the future may be more affordable. So that language was left in there. And then, so the open top stories, so if we have a building that has a roof deck, they can now cover the area that is utilized with solar panels and create a roof area, but the sides have to be open. You know, you have to have your, it may be a, have a parapet, but the sides have to remain open. You cannot have anything that encloses it. You can't have the kind of the heavy plastic curtains like they do in some of the beach communities where they close it and then air condition it or heat it or anything like that. It's got to remain open air at all times and no air conditioning. So it kind of gives you a nice third story that's a little more usable, and also helps to meet our goals. And then we went over the cost and found out that a multiplier of 1.5 was appropriate, and you can get up to 10% space for nonprofit and arts and cultural organizations. So if you build space specifically for nonprofit arts and cultural facilities, does not count towards the FAR on your property, but you have to only rent it to arts and cultural organizations who are actual 501c3s in perpetuity, and you have to provide the parking, and the rents charged shall not exceed 80% of the median rents charged for similar properties in the area. We used 80% because that is the number that is used for affordable housing, for calculating affordable housing rates. You can only charge 80% of the median rents in the area for affordable housing. So we thought it would probably be fitting for renting to nonprofits, because the intent here is to help the arts and cultural community by providing space. So this potentially could be a really great bonus if someone were to use it, if they were to want to open a maker space, gallery space for the community, something like that. So sky's the limit with that one.
Why did we get rid of public art and gateway feature?
Because it was so hard to define. I think that was the issue with something could just be statuary versus something could be $1 million statue. Right. And it was just very tough to define, was the reason that was removed.
Okay. It just seems like it would be such an enhancement to Winter Park, but I can see where it would be subjective too.
We liked it, but it was just really hard to define. The good thing is, if you know, being a conditional use, there is the opportunity to modify the development enhancement menu if the applicant comes up with something that is acceptable to yourselves and the city commission. I always like flexibility, and there may be something we haven't thought about. Public parking, each 3 dedicated public parking spaces within a structure, which remain free for public parking at all times, have a multiplier of 1.25%, maximum of 10% FAR, open space beyond the minimums, each 25 inches of shade tree caliper planted, but with a minimum 5-inch caliper tree, can provide you with a nice bonus. Payment to the tree fund, donation to City Winter Park designated for Mead Botanical Gardens, restoration enhancements. The fund shall only be used for capital improvements in Mead Botanical Gardens. So it has to be shown that it'll be used to do something, to build something, not just towards operating costs. Donation of land for parks. We certainly like that. Donation to the city. Question. Yes.
How does this map exactly work? So the base is like 60% FAR, and then they can get up to 100%. How do I do the math on this? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, so if you do a 10%, are you starting, does your value start from then 70% rather than 60?
Well, yeah, well, 10% increase of 60% is 6
FAR. Yeah.
So it'd be 60 times 10, we get you 66 times 10, we get you 6, again, 6.6. And then what does it look like for me, Emma, to get this to 1 FAR? Just out of curiosity. But
the intent was to kind of have them calculated separately, because otherwise you've kind of built yourself up, or to count each one separately, I guess would be the right one to say. So if you're at 60% FAR and you add 10%, you get a 10% bonus in open space, you're at 70.
So it's you have to do essentially 4 of the 10% wants to get to 100% FAR.
Correct. Except for the one we've already mandated that you have to do, but the intent was.
When the one that's mandated is to do a parking garage.
Or if it's,
dedicate land.
Dedicate land, yes. Well, or the bike, or the bike trail.
Not in.
And so the intent is that you have to use a number of different items from the menu, because that way it benefits the community in different areas, different directions. And for some people, it may be easier to plant more trees on their property. For some people, they've got no place to plant trees on their property, so they'd be donating to the tree fund. Also, for some of the smaller businesses, some of these are going to make a lot more sense than others due to the cost of the increase, the number of square feet and the cost for that, versus each, $10,000 donation to a park is a lot easier for a large project than it is for a small project to get 1% increase in FAR. So, so that's kind of how we got to that.
Obviously not highly incentivizing public restrooms, huh?
I know, only 2%. And it's as like somebody
$80,000 townhouse. You get enough square footage to build a public restroom.
Hey guys, I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. I have to go to court, so I need to leave. I apologize for leaving early.
That's okay.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks. Awesome.
Give no ground.
Here's the rail trail here, where we actually dictate the widths of the trail and caliper of trees. The
were we scheduled till 2, or were we scheduled till 1:30? Just out of curiosity, because I have a 2 o'clock.
We're scheduled till 1:30, I think, but I think we're close to
trying to push to the
end, so I can get this out in the packet.
If you've got
to
leave.
No surprise.
I got to leave in probably 4 minutes.
Okay. Offset trail, same thing. Bike, fix-it stations, which can be very cool if you put a roof and all these different things along the trail, or just land donation for transportation improvements. And then we just get into definitions down here. And I won't go through every single one, but I'll say if you have any to add, let me know. Or
don't we need to, do we need to fix the boutique hotel definition, since we had talked about taking out the banquet facilities issue, allowing them?
Yes, you are correct. We should go back up to the top and grab that.
Why don't you just make a note to do that?
That is so a good idea, to go back down and make a note to do that.
Well, I know that we should maybe pay 2 minutes attention to vesting based on the commissions.
Yeah, that was...
I didn't see that coming.
I did, and that's why I, if you were watching the meeting, you saw me go sit down at that point, because I knew they were going to have a long discussion on that. Sorry, I can't see my typing here. Okay.
I mean, most of the definitions look.
Number, I have a quick question on number, on item D, common ownership.
Yes.
Okay. Do you need to say ownership that is more than 51%? Property shall be deemed to be under common ownership if they're owned by the same entity, but that could be, I mean, that could be multiple entities who have this, that have the same name and own 1% of something. And I'm not, I'm just throwing it out.
Would it be
with substantially similar control? I mean, that whole paragraph, I think, reeks of needing additional definition.
Okay. So would saying with an ownership percentage greater than 51%? Get us where we want to go.
Kick it to Dan and see what he says.
I agree.
Exactly. I agree.
So gets paid, I'm just going to say, figure these things out.
1% question mark.
Look at this man manipulate word. Good Lord.
All right.
Good catch, David.
Green wall, it's impervious.
So if you have a lot of gallons of green paint, you can make out like a bandit here.
The funny thing is that those green walls that we like are just, they're just a bear to keep. Yeah.
Another question for you as you're going down. For residential density, do you need to mention single family anywhere? You have everything as in terms of multifamily units. That's number T in my
T.
R-S, residential density. There we go. You just passed it. I mean, I'm not sure. There could be single family somewhere.
In the overlay, single family?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure if there is even any place for it.
We do allow it in area B in one place.
In area what? B?
Sub area B, yes.
Oh, those two lots or four lots? Yeah, two lots. Okay.
Sorry,
everybody. I got to head out for all the time.
Hey, Alex. Thanks.
Thanks, sir.
Bye-bye.
You are correct on that one.
And then I had one.
Oh, it doesn't read, does it?
Number of. Maybe just single family.
Single family.
Yeah, single family.
Okay.
My workforce housing is the 120 is the 120% figure the correct figure there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So a workforce so that can a house can cost 20% more than it did the prior year and still be considered workforce housing.
Well, it's 100 and it can rent for 120% of the median
price.
Yeah. Which
if that's correct,
is median's a little tougher. So that's why we use Orange County's numbers because they're going to be countywide. Because if we just used our local numbers, the apartments that we have are not exactly workforce.
Good enough.
All right. Invested rights is going to leave that to the. I know that's supposed to be a 9, and that's supposed to be a 9. According to the city attorney. But other than that, does anyone want to get into this this mix here? Because
is it consistent with the way the commission walked around the comp plan vested?
I will basically bring that language right into here.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I just got to get the minutes from that meeting so I can make sure that I've got all of their changes. Sorry. Okay. All right.
Well,
we be done.
We believe
so. Fantastic. Thank you all very, very much. This will be on your agenda for the next meeting, and it's going to be a bit of a longer agenda. Well, they're all Jeff's items, and then one from Nick, our new planner one. He's new to planner one, not new to us. We're glad to have him back and in an official position. But yep, there he is.
Yes.
Stealing the good office again. I think he's thinking if he just sets up shop in there. His new boss is going to sit in the bullpen with by the fish tank.
Well.
All right. Well, I think we've got everything. I'll get with the city attorney. And this will be on your agenda. And I will have it in this format, if that's okay with you, like we did last time with the red line format.
We'll just nod our way through the meeting.
Yes, sir. And any other changes that were made by the commission that I need to add in or change, I'll make those and I'll try to call those out for you. But I don't know if I'll go through a major PowerPoint just because this has so many different elements to it that I'd be doing so many slides that.
No, I
think we open it up and say we've worked to make this consistent with the comprehensive plan, and it's got a lot of the language for, you know, for the architectural controls and that sort of thing. And I'm probably going to keep it a little short on this one and say, does anyone, you know, we can discuss and then open it up for discussion with the public and or input from the public, and it'll be whichever direction you all want to take it.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you all again. This was fantastic. We did this in three.
Yep.
Yeah, we did 48 pages in three and 9 pages in four. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. See everybody Tuesday.
Thank you all.
Good.
Bye-bye.
Great. Thank you.